WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling. In the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or chase my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, So Rockin'.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome everyone to Nick at Night here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What the fuck? What? Oh my. That wasn't a fever dream, right? Everyone else heard that.
Could have been worse. Could have been Petticoat Junction.
Okay, I think this is WTR Sunday Night Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm not sure anymore.
Blame the producer.
Well, producer...
Smarten up!
I've had a hard enough day. Don't fuck with my head, too. This is the Omega, the very worn out be-all, end-all of our little network here. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
A man who has had approximately 4 hours sleep in the past 5 days.
You went to a convention, didn't you?
No shit.
Nah, he just sounds drunk to me.
I wish I was drunk. But no, I'm just tired. I've been running around since like 6:30 Friday morning, and I've had next to no sleep or any chance to even have a friggin' rest.
Fun.
I only walked in the door 5 minutes ago.
Well, glad to know everyone is worn out and exhausted for this edition. This should be a fun show. And leading the show, as usual, is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, I'm actually freaking here this time, and the only reason I am here this week is because I wasn't on the road. I actually worked in the city. That's a nice thing. Be able to come home at the end of the day, have nobody here to make my meals for me, have to realize that I'm the one who's responsible for vacuuming this fucking carpet. God damn it, where the hell is my motel maid service?
So you said goodbye, City Lives?
No. That would be hello, City Life. Because when they send me out of town to travel, it's Green Acres. I go to these hick towns, and it's just like, I swear to God, you know, Arnold the Pig running up and down the aisle right before slaughter. Baby back ribs all around, everybody. People might be wondering what I do for a living. Well, I work for, this is hilarious. My day job, I'm about to let you know that I work for MasterCard. That's right, I work for a credit card company. I can't get one.
Damn it.
Yeah, I've, That cuts you off right there. Couldn't get a credit card, saved my life thanks to my credit rating, but I work for them. Bastards. I'm sorry, Mace. I stole your thunder, didn't I?
Eh, I'm slow on the draw. Don't care.
I see. Well, alrighty.
I used up all my funny on the weekend.
Oh, well, then this is going to be a really shitty show.
Oh, God.
And it's not my fault this time. Just saying. In the meantime, I don't know how it happened, but I have gotten hooked on the AMC original series, Mad Men.
Not you, too.
Yeah. Well, it's have I joined some kind of elite crew or something, Omega?
I wouldn't call an elite crew so much as a Trump together bandwagon.
Okay, well, it's not that I jumped on a bandwagon. I watched the first one and it kind of hooked me, you know, and I'm like, well, okay, yeah. And then I started watching it, and by the fourth episode, I'm waiting to see Darren Stevens walking into the office.
Yeah. Let's talk some wrestling so we can get the show over with and I can get some rest.
Yeah, that wasn't meant to be a bad joke. That's just, you know, an observation. I mean, you know, it's a TV show about an advertising company. Darren Stevens worked at an ad company, you know.
It's Nick at Night today, isn't it?
So, it's, you know, it's...
Does it help if I say to you, Omega, that I met Barbara Eden on the weekend?
Who?
I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh. Yeah, that's how here I am.
Yeah. We're going to have a great time, ladies. And
there you go. Yeah, I was reading some about I Dream of Jeannie that they were allowed to show her midriff and everything, but her belly button had to be covered up as to the demands of the censors.
Well,
they had to
keep
her belly. What the hell? You know, what was it with the 60s? I swear to God, they were weird people back then. Thank God all of those people who were in charge, like, in their 80s are dead now.
There's just some weird rule back then. It's like, no. The only holes on your body you can show are on your face.
Yeah, there you go. All five of them. Okay, seven, sorry, technically. If you count the eyes. Do you include the eyes?
Well, they have something filling them, so that kind of doesn't make a hole.
Okay. In that case, speaking about...
Later on, Tim, we'll get in touch with Lita, and she can tell you all about holes.
Yeah, that's just one conversation we won't have. Thanks for the offer. But... You're talking about jumping on the bandwagon. That just makes me wonder, how many of you guys have spent the week singing the Fandango theme?
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that.
Seriously.
I mean, I spent a weekend around wrestling as well, and thank God people in Australia are smarter than the US and don't do that shit. Or else I would have shot a lot of them.
No offense to any American who might be listening. Don't like alienate 95%
of offense meant.
There you go.
Oh, no. Is the American on the panel? No, we're fucking idiots.
Yeah, okay, there you go. I don't hear any protestations from producer.
It was the Raw after WrestleMania, so it was kind of an international crowd anyway.
Speaking about international crowds, yeah, Monday night, Dolph Ziggler cashed in. It's about time. Hey, Mace, your prediction did not come true.
I made predictions.
Yeah, you predicted that that Money in the Bank was going to expire before the guy cashed the goddamn thing in. It's been over a year. Well, a year and a day, right? Technically.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah. So.
Hey, it came close.
It was.
Everybody really lost faith in it.
Yeah. So, what do you think when he came out and challenged
Alberto Del Rio?
I believe Omega and I were of the same mind on this. You got rid of a potential WrestleMania moment, something that could have been a highlight of the show, yeah, and you used it as a ratings grab on Raw.
Uh-huh. Now, it's fun and dandy to do something to grab ratings on Raw, but if you just ignore all of that and the financial implications for the company they're in, you figure it would have been better had they done it at WrestleMania. Would that have made WrestleMania that much better than what we figured it was?
It wouldn't have made it like gigantic categories of better, but it would have had something memorable. Like, here it is, we're a week removed from WrestleMania, I can barely fucking remember a thing.
Yeah. So, other than Punk and Taker having him cash in at WrestleMania for the WrestleMania moment in the pot there, would have been a good thing. For Mania.
Yeah.
Would have given us two things to remember, right?
Pretty much. It would have given us a couple of... At least it would have given us a special WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
Because one thing that show was missing was something special to define it. It was just another WrestleMania.
It was just a very long pay-per-view this time around.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. So, are we all in agreement that WWE waited too long by probably maybe just one day too long?
I would have preferred it at Mania. Though, I will admit, I thought the crowd was hotter at Raw than it was at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we're going to have a discussion about that a little bit later on.
Well, okay, just a fast forward. The reason why the crowd sounded better was because they were in a fucking arena instead of an open-air football field.
Well, yeah, they were louder because of that with the...
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. 10 years down the line, when we're running Dolph Ziggler highlight reels and, he's on his retirement tour, that's going to be such a better piece of footage that they're going to show all the time. Just because it's so loud and the crowd is just so on fire. I know we're talking about that later, but it applies here. And just from a historical standpoint, yeah, it sounds better at Mania, or at least on paper it looks better at Mania. It sounds better at that Raw. Just because, the crowd is that fired up. They are indoors, so you can actually hear the people.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna be something. It would have made a great WrestleMania moment. And personally, because I think the guy deserves it and Mania needed a big moment, I think I would have preferred it at WrestleMania. But, when we run the highlight reel of Dolph Ziggler's package, oh, God.
Can you just rephrase that, please?
I am out of it. When we run the highlight reel of Dolph Ziggler's career...
There you go.
That's going to be a huge highlight because they picked that crowd to do it for.
Yeah.
But that also seems to be the thing with crowds post-WrestleMania, is they always seem louder, more vocal, as we will remember last year with Will, being in the crowd and them going yes and going ballistic. The crowd after WrestleMania always seems like 10 times more on fire than the one at WrestleMania. Which is very weird.
Yes, WTF, what's up with that?
Here's what's up with that. Because it's always in an arena like 10 minutes away from where they held WrestleMania. It's extremely close. And if you're there for WrestleMania, and it's a matter of driving an extra 10 minutes to go to Raw too, you're going to go to Raw. I mean, especially if you're from overseas and you'll never be back again.
Uh-huh.
So... you've got the hardcore audience. You've got the hardcore fans there. That's what you have. Aside from the people who just, your usuals that buy the tickets to go to Raw. You've got everyone from out of town. You got everyone who made the trip to Mania. You got all the fans who not only paid the ticket for Mania, they paid the ticket for Raw too. You know they are the diehards, and they're always going to be loud. Mm-hmm. Which is, we'll get into that later, but there's other points that, you know, kind of have proof of that.
Yeah. So, so that's, you know, Dolph Ziggler, who is now your world heavyweight champion. We started off talking about this. Let's just, like, look at it a little bit longer. Fandango, Revolution in the crowd at Raw. What are your thoughts about the crowd singing along?
It was an amusing moment. It obviously showed either the crowd just thought, hey, we're going to fuck with the show, or they were extremely bored.
Okay, one of the two, right?
I
don't think it was really one of these, we are going to try and make Fandango famous. No, it was, we're watching, I think, what was it, a Mark Henry match or something that was in the ring when all this type of stuff started.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, we're bored. Hey, look, it's Fandango. It's got a catchy tune. Let's sing along with it and be idiots.
There you go. Taking on the Americans.
Look, I've been a part of those type of crowds. And
yeah,
to be honest, when we got around to chanting things like Christmas sucks and the ring is blue, you know that the show is done, it's dead, the crowd's bored.
I didn't see it I didn't see it that way on Monday night, to tell you the truth. We'll dig into that a little bit more in just a bit. Did you guys have a favorite chant? Favorite crowd chant for Monday night?
RVD.
No, mine was ACW.
Fucker doesn't work here. Why are you chanting for him?
Because he was at the Hall of Fame and he's having interest in coming back to the company. I actually like the ECW chants because that led to one of the greatest tweets by Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
It was, I heard there was an ECW chant on Raw, Did I Die?
Oh, God. Okay, 2 points to Tommy Dreamer for draining that one, nothing but net.
Jeez. I was serious, like, Mace will know where I'm coming for this. My favorite Botchamania episode ever. There is a match at an indie show that is so bad and so boring. The crowd just starts in with random chants. It was kind of like what happened at Raw, just to a more extreme degree.
Yeah.
Yep. at the indie show, you can hear the announcers trying to hold themselves together as the audience chants Cena sucks when John Cena isn't anywhere near this fucking place. You can hear, they're chanting for HBK. The one that got the announcers laughing was they started chanting You Screwed Brett.
Yeah, okay, where was this indie show?
I have to look up the episode of Botchamania now. But, because it is one of the most hysterical things I've ever heard. I was seriously waiting for chants like that to break out, because they're chanting for Michael Cole, for God's sakes.
Oh my God.
Super Dragon!
I was ready for them to break out the old You Screwed Brett.
Damn. Yeah, with the entire thing that happened Monday night, the one thing that stuck in my brain, I talked to Rock about this, and all the chants are going on, I can remember one or two of them, but the one line, it wasn't a chant, but it was a line from Jerry the King Waller. He asked a question that was obviously rhetorical. Do you remember the question? Do you guys even have a clue what the question was? He said, where are we, in Canada?
He mentioned that we're in Bizarro Land, if Raw was in Canada.
And yeah, you know that Jerry is very, very fond of calling Canada the Bizarro World. And that's
right,
because we cheer for who we want to cheer, not for who WWE wants us to cheer for.
This wasn't even Bizarro World. This was fucking Wacky Land.
It was,
it was New Jersey.
Hey, Jersey Girl, are you guys all really, like, weird down there, or what?
Have you not seen Jersey Shore?
No, I refuse to watch it. It's the hairstyles. Among
because it's hairstyle that stops from watching.
Yeah, that's what it is, right.
So it's also the concern for your brain cells.
Something like that. But oh my god, no, that line to me, that's what made the whole thing funny. Oh yeah, you know, and the crowd starts to wave.
They're starting to wave. I liked when they were doing a Michael Cole chant and JBL was in hysterics.
Well, 2 minutes before
JBL cracked on commentary.
Yeah,
that's hard to do. But the reason he was laughing was because 2 minutes before they were chanting for JBL and he kind of made the snarky comment, they'll never chant for you, Cole. 2 minutes later, they're chanting for Cole.
That would make me lose it too. So yeah, the crowd was definitely on their game all night long last Monday night. Omega, how did that make watching Raw feel for you?
That was the most fun I've had watching Raw in a long time.
Yeah,
like even if the matches were boring, like when they started chanting for just random wrestlers, when the RVD chant broke out was during the Sheamus and Orton match, which was. Nah, just an okay match. You know, it's nothing I would rag on, but at the same time, it was hysterical watching them in the ring just stop and listen to the crowd and have no fucking clue what was going on.
So, it made Raw really enjoyable for you.
It really did. I wouldn't want it every night, because it was just the crowd was just, well, let's put it this way. When Mace call him too stupid, I call him too smart because they knew too fucking much.
Yeah,
you could tell they were having fun. You know, it was 18,000 people having fun together is what it was. You know, whereas, you know, and all of them just, you know, all of them are smarks. You could tell every last one of them.
They all reminded me of the Canadian province of Newfoundland. I'm telling you, everybody who lives on that bunch of land in the easternmost part of Canada, they'll get together and get drunk together, and they'll start singing spontaneously the same goddamn songs together at the same goddamn time. And they just have a great old time. And it doesn't matter what they're doing or where they are. They could be out in the middle of nowhere in minus 40 degree weather. As long as somebody remembered to bring the screech, they're all going to have a party. And, you know, just that's what made me think of that crowd reaction. Oh, unbelievable. Now, sticking with you, Omega, I got another question. And the reason why I'm giving you both of these in one shot is because I'm going to give Mace a chance to unload as a professional wrestler in a minute. But if you were a professional wrestler and you're in the middle of a match and you're listening to the crowd and they throw you off the match just a tiny little bit because they're doing all of this really funky, weird shit, having a great time. What do you think your reaction to that would be?
That's actually a really tricky question for me, never being in the ring.
Yep. Well, that's the reason, I asked you that just because
I know that what they're doing in that ring is a well choreographed ballet of physicality.
Yep.
You know, it takes a lot of concentration, and especially in the WWE world where you have to remember your spots as they were scripted out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of memory going into it. There's a lot of concentration going into it. If the crowd is just that odd, wrestlers will talk about feeding off the crowd and when they're really energetic and when they're really into it, that, it improves their performance in the ring. But when you get, when they get to that point, and that's where I was commenting about the crowd being a little too smart because they weren't playing along. You know, Big Show comes out and lays out both Sheamus and Orton in the middle of the match and the chant is, "Thank you, Big Show."
Yeah. And they're like, "You're not supposed to say that. What the hell?"
I'm supposed to be the... That was pretty much it. Throughout the entire night, is, you know, Big Show, you know, they cheer for Big Show, going, I'm supposed to be the bad guy. You know, they cheer for Ziggler, I'm supposed to be the bad guy. They cheer, you know, they cheer for Ryback, who's going, duh! Which means I'm supposed to be a heel now.
Here you go. Well, that didn't happen until the end of the night. Come on, for all intents and purposes, be fair. Also, with Ziggler, let's be real. The entire WWE universe, you know, all professional wrestling fans all around the place.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, cheering Ziggler.
The guy's a workhorse, and he earned that title the old-fashioned way. It's not because he's really, really big, you know, and it's not because he sells a lot of masks to kids, and it's not because they want to attract the Hispanic demographic. He got it because he's that fucking good.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely a company man. I mean, look at everything he's done. What was he? Who was he? Kenny?
Nikki,
that's right. I keep getting the two mixed up, Nikki, Kenny. He was Nikki, for Christ's sakes. You can't tell me that all the way back then, when he was a lot younger and greener than grass, that he wasn't doing absolutely everything and then some that he was asked to do by the company. And he told the line, right?
Oh, yeah, well...
Back then, everybody saw Kenny Dykstra as the breakout star of that group. Nobody thought Nikki was going to go anywhere.
Well, true.
The hard part was, we all thought it was going to be... We all thought it was going to be Kenny because he was kind of the leader. He's the front man for the Spirit Squad. Everyone else just kind of gets relegated back to just being there just for the numbers game.
I have to admit that my most favorite part of the Spirit Squad was them getting sent back parcel post by DX in a box.
Triple H slapping on a big-ass sign saying to OVW.
Yep.
That was good.
It was hilarious. Anyway, so you're not sure, you figure that might throw you off and stuff like that then, Omega?
Yeah, it's just with the crowds that hot, but they're not playing into it in the way they're supposed to. Yeah, that's going to throw you off your game.
Okay. Now, Mace, I have a funny feeling you might have something to say about this.
Oh... I do have things to say, but it's not really the type of thing you're expecting. Like, when you're working and it happens, you will stop for a second. It's going to throw you off your game for a moment and go, shit, we've lost the crowd. We've got to try and pull them back in.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, you're going to go, fuck it, let's just finish the match and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But once you get backstage, you then start wondering, what did I do wrong? Where did our match go wrong to lose the crowd to that point?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt sorry for the guys in the ring.
Yep.
From that point on, the entire show changed. And the wrestlers weren't working with the crowd. They weren't... The crowd took off and tried to become the show. And I felt sorry for every guy that got in the ring at that point. Because that you can't get that crowd back. You've lost them. And that means that all the hard work that you're in the ring that night is pretty much for naught, because the crowd is now the focus of the show.
Well, now I'm going to probably start a little bit of a debate and discussion between you and me, because I'm going to say that in most cases I would agree with you, but not with last Monday's crowd. And the reason for that is when they first started doing it, I'm like, oh, God, there we go. But I did notice that even though they were doing their own thing and becoming the stars of the show, as you say, they were still paying attention to what was going on in the ring, and they were still making noise for the high spots and all, you know, where they were still popping on the spots that they were supposed to pop for. And sure, they were having fun and having a great time, and hell, they could have had like a 5,000 foot wide beach ball that they're bouncing around like you see at football games, American football. But they were still in the game. This is what I noticed. Now,
of course you would. You look at things through a promoter's eyes.
Yeah, you know, and by noticing that, that tells me, and again, here you said through promoter's eyes, that tells me the crowd that I got there is a hot crowd. They're having a great time. I want them back. They're going to come back. Because they've got us.
Yeah. Oh, look, I understand, like, business-wise, this is going to be a great crowd to come back to, but the thing is, it's going to take them too long to get back, and that crowd's not going to be as hot.
Yeah, that's the hard part. That's the hard part, because that is the type of crowd you only get once a year after Mania, while everyone from out of town is still there for, as I said, they were the hardcore crowd, which is why you get old school chants like RVD going on, even though there's no reason to chant it.
Yeah. And you would have seen with the crowd for SmackDown, they tried to be the same type of crowd, and it didn't work.
Yeah, well, that's because...
You're going to have crowds that are going to try and emulate that. Or even the WWE are going to try and manipulate it to the point where they're going to try and recreate that crowd, and they can't do it. As Omega said, this is a once-a-year crowd.
Yeah, it's because, like, SmackDown was not spontaneous.
No.
No. And... you're talking about WWE is going to go to those lengths to try to recreate that atmosphere and that crowd. And it's not going to happen because it's not going to be spontaneous. Now, sure, we all say that this is a once-in-a-year event, and it always happens the first Raw after WrestleMania. I do not remember last year's WrestleMania, the crowd being quite that off the hook. Really, I don't.
No, I don't think I've ever seen an audience the way they were at Raw, because, I mean, they were, white hot the entire 3 hours. And, yeah, they were doing their own thing, but they were still paying attention to what was going on. I mean, you were right. You know, they'd be in the middle of a chant, then a huge move would come up in the match, and everyone goes, it might take them a little while, but, then they'll start just doing their own thing. I mean... It wasn't a matter of, well, they're losing interest in the match because they're still paying attention to everything that's going on. It's just that they were still excited, they were hyped up, and they just kind of started playing around.
Yeah. Now, getting back to what Omega said, Mace, about, all these guys have all this stuff scripted out in the ring and all this other stuff. We all know that Triple H has brought back in old school, and he's trying to get everybody to revert back to it. And this starts with, do your own promo. Don't let anybody write it for you. Say what you can say. And, that basically ended at the turn of the 21st century, really, when they started bringing in all of these Hollywood freaking writers to write things for other people to say and try to make it sound like them. And I think that in the same vein, maybe Triple H is trying to push a little more spontaneity in the ring with calling the action and calling the shots while you're in the ring. What do you think about that one, Mace?
Well, you're talking to completely different monsters in that respect. Having to adapt to a promo is completely different to having to adapt on the fly in the ring.
Yeah.
Especially with a crowd like that that can turn around and just randomly pop something that's going to even make, your commentary guys that had no idea what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
And this is, hardened commentary team. The guys in the ring, they're many, many years experience. And when you get a crowd like that, you like, do we play to them? Do we don't? And I'm quite sure they went and started changing things on the fly as was needed with the matches.
Mm-hmm.
But the initial, I think it was Orton and Sheamus' match, where they started it all, you could tell there was a bit of distress on both men.
Mm-hmm. They weren't sure what to expect.
But you also got to remember, Orton's one of those of the school of you script A, B, C, D, and you do it in that order.
Yeah.
Sheamus is that in some respects, but he not as much, because he was one of the first ones that Triple H started to bring through.
Well, I was just about to say he's Triple H's protege, like his first big protege, right? And as we all know, Triple H is famous for calling it on the fly.
Yeah, so you start, crowds like this will show you who are the guys to keep an eye on and who are the guys that really are going to need a lot of retraining.
Yeah. And, you know, so a crowd like that does help you as somebody who has to keep an eye on something like that.
Yeah, if they use this as a learning experience, mm-hmm. and use this crowd as an example of, okay, all of a sudden the crowd has just decided to go batshit bonkers, and, you know, start chanting, look, there's a ring light, what do you do?
There's a ring light, clap, 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 clap.
Hey, it has happened.
It has.
Hey, again, I've been in a crowd that has chanted the ring is blue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, uses it as a learning example.
But at the same time, though, it could be a false learning example, too, because now they're trying to, now they think Fandango is hot shit, and no, that chant was kind of...
No, it's the reason why the Fandango train is leaving the station is because his music is that fucking cheesy.
Yeah, it's not Fandango that's over. It's his music that
right.
is over. And
stick
with me for one moment. Reading a column on Lords of Pain by Mr. Tito, he went to the point of explaining in the column that the Fandango versus Kofi Kingston quarter hour segment lost 207,000 viewers.
Yeah.
Yet for some reason, Fandango's music was the hot shit and it's now sitting somewhere in the top 10 on iTunes in the UK.
Now explain that. I dare you. I defy you.
Probably because you had a lot of people who,
said, hey,
well,
you probably know a lot of it.
As Omega said earlier, that was a very international crowd. You're going to have your people that are coming over from the UK, from Europe, Australia, Japan, Mexico, blah, 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 blah. You know, all the people that don't usually get the WWE, they'll be the ones who buy your travel packages. You know, come over for WrestleMania, stay for Raw, and then go home.
Yep.
That's the type of crowd we had on Monday night. And that's why such things as Fandango's music going up in the UK happened. And yes, Rock, I know that segment always loses viewers, but at the same time, it shows that it's the music that's over, not the guy. And hopefully the WWE office notices that.
If Triple H is starting to run more and more things, I think that he's got a handle on it. I mean, the one thing that I've noticed with Fandango, the guy blows up really easily, Mace. I mean, he does 4 dance steps, and he's breathing like he's just run a marathon. Have you noticed this?
He's not Ultimate Warrior levels of blown up, but you do notice that his cardio is not where it should be.
Nowhere near where it should be.
He's exhausted at the end of his entrance.
Yeah.
as I said for the match with Jericho, you could tell Jericho carried that match.
Oh yeah.
He had no choice but to carry it.
Yeah, you could see the handle on Fandango's back.
I don't think I've heard that before, but so very apropos.
But yeah, it's
I just read what Rock posted.
Yeah, John Cena asked the question after SmackDown, do you like Fandango? The crowd says no. Do you like Fandango singing? Do you like singing Fandango's theme? The crowd says yes and starts singing. Again, it's the music that is over, not the character.
Well, for me, it felt almost half mocking.
Yeah, that's probably what it started out as.
Because keep in mind, it's not just the fact that, you know, they're humming along to the music, you know, which is half in jest. They're also mocking the dance by doing the little, you know, this little finger in the air, like super white and nerdy dancing.
Well, isn't this a pet project of Vince McMahon, this character?
Yeah.
Yeah, that explains it all, doesn't it?
There's a difference in pet projects here.
Yeah, Sheamus was Triple H's pet project. Look what happens. And Fandango is Vince's. Who can tell the difference? Damn. All I can tell you is that I really hope that the crowd that comes to my next show, April Assault, is as hot as the Monday night crowd for Raw was.
Yeah, all you gotta do is the night before put on a multi-million dollar production in the football field.
Yeah, you wanna sponsor that for me, Mace?
No.
Yeah, so we're gonna have problems with that, you know what I mean? So. Yeah, well, you know, that being said, there it is, and everybody likes the cheese of Fandango's music, but don't like him. I think that's good enough, fair enough to say about that.
We just got a good question in from Jersey Girl in the chat room.
I just read it, yeah.
Are they going to sing the theme at your show?
I have no idea, but I think it would be funny as hell if I grabbed a copy of the song and just played it right before we play our opening theme.
Gee, I wonder who you could grab a copy of.
Oh, trust me, I know who.
It's on iTunes.
Yep. Not a big deal, not a problem. I'm just thinking that might be fun if I did that, you know, and give the, yeah.
Maybe he that's why they're on it. Maybe that's why they're humming the theme, because there's no fucking lyrics and it's so simple.
I don't know. I hear that goddamn music, and I can't help but think about, you know, like the early mid 1960s TV series that I used to watch in syndication. You know, like Family Affair and stuff like that, and they would have music like that in the background when Uncle Bill went out for a date, and he took his date dancing or something.
Yeah, it's something just, we don't know about, Tim.
Yeah, well, I was, like, really young, and it was, like I said, it was into syndication. They played it on TV in the late 70s, and I was just, like, that tall. Anyway, that being said, I think it's about time we took our first break of the evening, kids.
Oh, my God.
Okay, do you understand what I'm talking about now, Omega?
Yes, I got it the first time.
Yeah, you play them both side by side. That's not I Dream of Jeannie. That's Bewitched, by the way, Jersey Girl.
It's the other magical wife show.
Yeah, it's the other magical white stuff. Yeah, there we go. That being said, everybody, we're going to go take our first time out of the evening. You're listening to WTR, it's the Night Wars Talk right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got more crap coming your way. Don't go nowhere.
If you thought you knew what wrestling talk was like on a Wednesday night before, you better think again. When the Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you Cheap Heat Radio. Join me, Scott Barry.
And me, Matthew Fortina, as we bring to you our unique and sometimes controversial opinions on pro wrestling.
This show is all about finding a star, not feeling sorry for people who aren't very good.
Controversial? That's an understatement. We hold nothing back, and we expect you, yes, you, random internet guy, or girl, not really girl, behind the keyboard, to hold back nothing either.
Ever heard of a little thing called the internet?
Internet, eh?
Join us every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
That's 7:30 p.m. Central.
The Cheap Heat Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Red. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the
what
answer that
the
you
hell? Course.
He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Red.
Stop that. Shut it off right now. What the hell?
Yeah, welcome back to the show. What the fuck is our producer on?
I think he's just doing this because of the Fandango theme.
Good lord.
Yeah, you can probably expect the next outro to be I Dream a Genie.
Well, now he's going to change it to Welcome Back, Cotter.
No, that's the 70s. That wasn't the 60s. He might... choose, he might actually go super retro and pick Leave It to Beaver.
You realize you two are just giving him suggestions, right?
Yeah, scary, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't say it, it won't happen. You should know this by now.
Well, it wasn't my idea.
Anyway, lead us, O Canadian One.
Yes, welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we're still trying to figure out what the hell that boy smoked today. And until we figure it out, let's talk about the reaction to the ending of Raw when Ryback came out, scared off Mark Henry, and delivered his finisher to John Cena. Are they turning Ryback heel?
Yes.
Let's see, he goes out and attacks the face of the company. Pretty sure.
Now, would you rather see John Cena feud with Henry or with Ryback?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Curtain A or Curtain B?
You're asking... It's like comparing turds and shit.
Crap and more crap. How about all three of them in a match together? Isn't that turd versus crap versus diarrhea?
That's like saying, do you want to be shot in the face with a shotgun or a 9mm Beretta?
At the end of the day, the damage is pretty close to the same.
Yeah. This is their great post-WrestleMania feud.
Yep. So which one has, okay, you know, and of course, naturally, the producer put this question out. Which has the biggest potential? Which feud?
The viewing audience versus the changing of channels.
There you go. Now, for those who can't find the remote control, who do you think they want to see John Cena feud with for the title?
If you haven't picked it up by now, Tim, we don't want to choose. Because either option is bad.
Here's the honest thing. Honestly. I'd rather see Ryback, because at least you can play off the history from the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And at the very least, Mark Henry isn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the very least, you could carry Ryback to a halfway decent match. Henry, no.
Not so much.
No.
I cannot see John Cena carrying Mark Henry at all. Figuratively or literally. Really.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Ryback is the better of two evils.
The lesser, not necessarily the better, but yeah, let's go with the lesser. Now, my question for you, that all being said, and we realize that they're setting up a Ryback-Cena feud, Cena has a WWE title. Who should go up against him in the next feud? Who would you want to see? And just to give you guys a little impetus, you cannot pick either Ryback or Mark Henry. Brain explosion imminent.
Yeah.
It just sounds
because I'll be honest, there's nobody worth putting up for the belt right now. Because you've spent your last year, practically, building the whole Rock Cena thing that post-WrestleMania, there's nothing really set that looks appealing.
Uh-huh.
Because if you go Cena versus Punk again, the crowd's going to get sick of it, because that's the feud that they had before Rock versus Cena.
Yep.
So you want to try and have something fresh, but at the same time, there's not really any heels there in the company that are going to be of that main event level.
Yeah, is there anybody that they could bring over from SmackDown that you would say, yeah, okay, that'll work?
Besides the guy that's already got the big gold belt over on SmackDown? No, not really.
Yeah, you still face this problem here that the belt's on Cena.
Well, I don't think the problem is so much that the belt is on Cena so much as,
No. The belt is on Cena. That is the problem because he's already beat fucking everybody.
Hang on. Let me finish, okay? It's not, I don't think it's so much the problem the belt's on Cena as it is that they don't have, they haven't spent enough time developing new talent to bring into the company.
There is logic in what he says.
Yes, exactly. Would you, now we're not talking about breaking him up, but would you take a member of the Shield, put him up against Cena to go for the
title? No way. You don't touch that team.
You would. Hey, Simon Dean, you busy?
Nope.
No, stay together.
You don't break that up.
Believe in the Shield.
I said you're not breaking them up, but wouldn't you have one of them? Think about it now. Simon Dean going out.
You don't. Okay. You can leave them together. Do not start them wrestling singles. No.
Yeah. Don't start them wrestling singles. Don't peg out any one above the others. Because right now they are. Right now, it's an even faction. It is basically the core was supposed to be. No leader, just a team.
Okay.
Well, that was fucking bullshit because Wade Barrett was the leader. This has no leader. You know, the Shield is first foremost and is only a team, and they are doing phenomenal as such. If you give them the tag belts, you give them the Freebird rule. You know, and beyond that, you don't let them touch any singles belts. Because all of a sudden, if someone's got one big gold belt and the others don't, you know, suddenly you're pulling a rank. And there is no rank in the Shield.
Okay. So, no. In other words,
no.
Don't do that.
No, don't. No touchy.
Okay.
They have a good thing going. Don't fuck it up. You have a team here that could quite possibly be a good focus for the company in a big storyline and actually make them lots of money and, you know, the stuff they like. You don't start putting singles titles on those type of people, no.
Okay, so there's your answer there. They need to develop new talent.
Yeah, considering their idea of developing new talent as a heel is Fandango. Yeah.
I'm really hoping he is the last Vince project.
Yeah, Triple H, step up. Vince, go read a book. But at the same time, when they did develop new talent, people were shitting all over it. And I'm pointing out Sheamus.
Yeah, but the thing is, Sheamus now that he's become a face, he's that type of face that it would hurt him too much to turn him heel. You could turn Randy Orton heel for the 800th time, but nobody will care.
Well,
the Big Show's a heel, and nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really much in the way of people that you can either turn heel without damaging them, and Tim just blew a brain cell, and or guys that are heels that the crowd just doesn't care about.
Yep. Now, this supposed dearth of available talent, what would you blame that on?
Poor writing decisions, reluctance to give up the money makers and take a risk on anyone new. In order to actually elevate new talent, you have to give a little bit less time to, you know, your guys like Cena and Orton and the guys who have been your money draws for the last five, some upwards of 10 years in Cena's case. Because, so right now they're looking at a very short-term picture. What's making us money right now? Let's keep on it. Rather than,
well, we really don't have much to do with these guys because they're the same guys we've had forever. Maybe it's time to actually move someone new up the ladder.
Yeah, no, my point being is, why are they having such a hard time finding somebody new? Is there a problem with their scouting? Are they being really lazy in recruiting people from independent wrestling federations around North America and even the UK or wherever, anywhere else?
No. No. Anybody who watches NXT will notice there is a great crop of up-and-comers sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that they look real well in that type of system in the NXT style. Smaller arenas, smaller crowds. They're not weighed down by some stupid gimmick. They're just there. If the heels are there, they are just there to be heat magnets. The faces are there to get cheers. There's no stupid gimmicks really attached to most of the guys or the girls for that matter. And that's why they look so strong. That's why Johnny Curtis looked like a real good prospect when he was himself in NXT. Then he became Fandango. And I hate the fact that we're using this guy as about every single fucking example tonight. But
well, who else are you going to use?
But you see what happened. They took a guy who was good heel in NXT, gave him the Fandango gimmick, put him on Raw, and it drops like a sack of shit.
Yeah.
Yet you take the Shield, guys who singly were awesome at their jobs, wrestle like a mofo, put them together, turn them heel, and you keep them as a group, and it's taking off like gangbusters. And all they really did was say, hey, you three, we like your look. We reckon you guys can work well together. Here's a gimmick called the Shield. It's a team name. Put on some military police SWAT gear and go out there and do the same thing you were doing in NXT.
And we do it all together.
Success.
And boom. Yeah. And then they go,
hey, Johnny, we're going to dress you up in fucking sequins, give you a dancer, go out and dance for the people, and then try and be a heel. And it just goes...
Yeah,
whatever you do, make sure you get your entrance music over.
I made it as a joke before, but it really is a true point. You see the difference between, this is a Vince McMahon project where he takes someone and saddles them with something he thought was funny or just, you know, a slightly interesting if very shallow idea. Or just something that the roster doesn't have right now. Yeah. And the guy that he assigns it to is just, you know, whoever we like in developmental right now. It's not someone who's really suited for it, and it's not something they really want to be saddled with. It's just, oh, well, it's your turn? Well, I have this really funny name that I want to give you.
Yeah,
which, that's exactly what Vince has done before. You know, poor Husky Harris. You know,
Michael McGillicuddy.
Oh, poor Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah, well, here it is. You have family legacy. We're going to give you a completely different game and ignore your family ties.
Yeah, there you go.
What?
I know.
Okay, now.
Literally, in the case of Husky, it literally is Vince going, that's exactly what he said. I just thought the name was funny. And that's as much thought as he put into it. You see a more modern project, a more Triple H era project, and okay, you guys, we're gonna keep you together, do the same thing you've been doing that's been getting over, that you're really good at, you'll just do it as a team now. And it's paid off gangbusters for them.
You're like, holy shit, it worked. Yeah. Now, this is gonna sound like a complete total non sequitur, but, back in, I think it was in like late 80s, early 90s, Vince McMahon picked up a microphone and sang a song. Do you guys remember what that song was?
I should, cause it's one of his most embarrassing moments.
Yep.
And they play it every now and then to shame him.
Here's the thing, I don't think that McMahon is embarrassed by that. Now, if you look very carefully at the way he looked and all of the girls that were around him in that music video that he made, don't they look like Fandango dancers?
I haven't seen that in forever, so I couldn't say.
Okay, the answer is yes, Omega, just in case you haven't been able to play along.
Okay, fine.
There you go. And it's just like, okay, Vince is thinking that this is really awesome and that was really cool what he did. So let's like, hey, excuse me. Come here, Johnny. Listen, you're going to be me, but like 5 years younger back when I did this.
Still seems weird. The fact that it's McMahon singing really just, yeah. You can say that down a bit, Rob.
He should have lip synced like Jeff Jarrett lip synced the that song, that one song he did.
Well, you mean the one he stole off Road Dogg?
Yeah, the one he stole off Road Dogg. That's still like, whoa, that was actually Road Dogg who sang that? Really? Wow, that's cool.
He's on the ball. just sort of like, I understand your point there, Tim. You know, Vince isn't exactly embarrassed by doing these types of things, but then again, it's not him that's going out there and doing it.
No, but
it's these poor bastards with all the talent in the world that he settles with the stupid shit, and he tells it, get over or get the fuck out.
Yeah, and yeah, okay, you just said he's not doing it, but yeah, technically he is, by proxy. Now this is something that I get blamed, for doing with my son Owen by his mother, is his quit trying to live vicariously through your son. He's never going to be a hockey player the way you were. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, you don't get it, I'm not trying to do that. He wants to be a goaltender, that's great. I'm just like, we're being boys, so shut up and get over it. Vince, however, is very similar, only he's actually doing the vicarious living. Okay, well, I'm too old to do this shit anymore, so Johnny, you get out and do it, we'll pretend it's me. You know, he's sitting in the back and he's watching and says, you know, I could have been like that when I was 35. Or 31.
No, it's not even that, though. It's, you know? Vince going, as we've already said, it's, hey, I've got a great idea, I want to make somebody a dancer. Hey, Johnny, what you doing? Go ahead and get this over, or else you're going to not get your contract.
So basically,
oh, look, you didn't get that over? Sorry, kid, you haven't got the stuff to do it.
Yeah.
Yet he was over like gangbusters through, you know, the indies and NXT and working his way up to that point. And when you hit that door that either reads Raw or SmackDown, you get given this stupid little piece of paper that says, this is your gimmick.
Yeah, it's what... And there's multiple ways you could do that. I mean, for some, it's just, well, we have this really goofy idea, we want you to run with it. In others, it's, well, we really see potential in this guy, let's saddle him with something to shame him and see if he sticks through it for us. You know, to cause a proof of company man thing. And then there's just, well, we really don't fucking like you, so here's your gimmick. Good luck, shithead.
It's not even that though. It's the company wanting too much control over these guys. What? Okay, in the 90s, your two biggest names, Rock and Austin, both said the same thing. How did I get over? I went out and I was myself and turned it up to 11.
Yeah.
Which is always the best gimmick because it's who you are.
Yes. And that's what these guys are allowed to do on the lower end, but once they get to the big time, if you're not somebody that gets saddled with something stupid and then eventually it's like, screw it, we're not going to bother with you anymore, go and do whatever the fuck you want, and it takes off, because that's what happened with Austin.
Yep.
Austin had the Ringmaster gimmick, and it bombed.
Big time.
So they said, we don't care what the fuck you want to do. Go out and do whatever you want. So Austin went out, put on a vest, and started acting like himself, turned up to 11, and it took off to the moon.
Yep.
They had Rocky Maivia coming out in a feathery friggin' shoulder pad thing. Sorry, kid, you can't get it over. We're going to put you with the Nation of Domination. And he started turn around, started being arrogant, and started being an asshole, and, you know, started having a go at the crowd. Suddenly... You had Die Rocky Die. Dude was over like gangbusters as a heel. Boom. And then when he finally turns face, he becomes one of the biggest stars in the friggin' company.
Yep.
It takes the company going, you know what? We saddled you with something crap. We've done our best to bury you. We don't care about you anymore. Do whatever. And suddenly these guys become stars. Why go to the point of burying the guy to the point where you don't want anything to do with him anymore, and then you jump on his coattails when he takes off on something of his own creation?
Yeah.
You know, same thing can be said of CM Punk. He came out and he basically did his exact same thing that he did on the indies. He was over with it. Sure, he was over because of the internet marks, but when he finally opened up and went full-blown heel and did the old-school stuff that he did in Ring of Honor,
yep.
Wow, did that company jump on his coattails.
Big time.
So why saddle these guys with this gimmick that they know's not going to get over? Why not send them out with the exact same gimmick that they've been working with for the last couple of years or for the last year and a half, 2 years in NXT? Mm-hmm. Because they don't think it's going to get over, or they think they're going to lose control of the character.
If they lose, if they lose control of the character, all of a sudden it's interfering on the stuff that they are more concerned with. You know, okay, we can't have this guy. Okay, here, I'll give you the name, Zack Ryder. Company didn't want him to be over. He was over as hell. So, okay, what are you gonna do? We're gonna use him for a couple months. We're gonna placate the fans a little bit. And then we're gonna fucking bury him because he wasn't in our plans. You know, we didn't choose this for him, it just kind of happened. When someone gets over all on their own, when it gets out of their control, they really have no idea what to do with it at that point. If it's not in their plans, if they hadn't predicted it months in advance, if it wasn't scripted in, they are just as lost as the guys who are coming up in developmental before Triple H. They have no idea what they're supposed to do next. How do I capitalize? Well, all they know now is it's taken away heat from the guys who are, you know, that we really want to do stuff with. So, shelve them. Do away with it. You know, plug your ears, go la 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 la.
Yeah.
Just pretend it didn't happen.
It's the same old complaint. This is what happens when you have TV writers and not wrestling writers. When you hire guys whose expertise is television, not wrestling. Because mostly, for example, guys like Jim Cornette can rebook on the fly and make it look amazing. You know, Kevin Sullivan, same type of thing. Guys who know wrestling, if they see a guy who's starting to shoot up on the charts by his own volition, you know, did his own gimmick, did his own promotion, they know how to ride that guy, but at the same time help him be elevated to the point where he becomes something bigger and better. And unfortunately, none of this is happening. And that's why we can't find a match for bloody John Cena at the moment. To go back onto topic after we railroaded it for 15 minutes. Hello?
We're all still here.
Okay. You guys just went silent.
We just seem to have a very intelligent examination of the core issues in the WWE right now, and it's kind of stunning.
Now, the difference here between Zack Ryder and Stone Cold Steve Austin is they had tried to do something with Austin, and it failed. And then they were like, well, we don't know what the fuck to do. We could come up with something. They hadn't gotten to that point with Zack Ryder. They didn't have anything for him. He was just like, you know, Mr. Joe Jobber. All of a sudden, he's doing all of this stuff on his own without having the WWE try to get him over to begin with. And they're like, oh, shit. Well, let's do something, then bury him.
Same thing can be said with Tenzai.
Yeah.
Here it is. The dude did okay as Albert.
Yeah.
He went to Japan, built a name, which was enough to gain interest to bring him back in.
Yeah.
They settle him with the Tenzai gimmick, which drops like a sack of shit.
Yep.
And then they're like, you're going to be Ton of Funk number two.
Yeah,
whatever they're calling him.
Sweet tea or,
yeah.
I wish they just went back and called him the hip hop hippo again.
He just gets, he gets reliquated to these like one letter pun names.
Yeah.
Sweet tea. A-Train. Yeah. Here's a bit of your old name plus a joke.
Now,
but
you brought
keep in mind that's him saddled with Brodus Clay, who did have this character that didn't go over, and WWE actually let him go. Well, what do you want to do? I want to do the Hall of Pain. That's a great idea. Hey, Mark, did you hear about that idea? Yeah, go enjoy. You're gonna dance for us, fat ass.
Yeah, there you go. There's always that danger. Yeah, but you talked about CM Punk a little bit. Let's talk about him a little bit more. He's actually, since he's fought Undertaker, he doesn't really have much of anything going for him right now. He's got no title. He's got no feud. He's got no opponents. What are they doing? What are they going to do with CM Punk now?
At the moment, send him on a well-earned vacation.
Just because,
yeah.
Hopefully to somewhere with palm trees, women wearing next to nothing, and a lot of Mai Tais.
Fiji.
Yep, send him to Fiji. All expenses paid. That dude has earned a rest, and I don't care what they do with him at this point, as long as they let him rest up.
Yeah.
Okay. After they let him rest up and bring him back, what should they do? Do they keep him on the heel side of his character?
Oh hell yeah. You do not turn that man face. Well, you do. You keep him as a heel. You keep him Heyman, and you just say, Punk, what would you like to do?
No, I wasn't talking.
Because that has worked so well so far, and you don't touch a winning formula.
I wasn't talking about turning him face. I see him more of a tweener.
No, full-blown heel.
Yeah, well, you're going to force him to be in the tweener role just because he's always going to be over with the smart crowd. No matter what you do.
Yeah, a la Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, well, even more so than that. There's always going to be fans cheering for him. He's always going to get a tweener reaction, even though he's healing it up hardcore. You know, that's just the nature of the business these days. You're the same way Dolph Ziggler, who's been a heel his entire career. You know, the same way he gets the hottest pop of the night when he wins, because there's just smart audiences now, and there's just no avoiding that. But, you know, I agree. I mean, the guy's banged up, and he has been the best thing on your show for the last year. Let him take a good vacation. You know, give him, you know, I'd keep him off TV a good like 3 months. Then bring him back rejuvenated, you know, fully healthy again. And by then, hopefully the environment's changed just a little bit to where you could have an honest to God feud ready for him.
So basically right now, you're implying that there is nobody on Raw to put him up against right now.
I'm implying that he is in the exact same situation. You could ask this of pretty much fucking anybody who just finished a feud. Does he have any opponents left? Or what does he do now? It's an extremely pessimistic way of looking at it. I mean, of course he's not doing anything. Guy just finished a feud.
Well, that brings up another point. Does he need to be in a feud? Can he not just come back and be CM Punk, and if there's a wrestling match, then fine, he's in it, but it's not a series of matches with the same guy leading to this one conclusion?
Well,
that's fine. Because to be honest, one of the other big problems is everybody has to have a feud, and it has to go for this long, and then they move on to this person, then they move on to this person. Who's next? What's next? What's coming up next? Next, 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 next. How about we enjoy the fucking now?
Okay.
How about after watching the big explosion, we take a step back and go, gee, that was pretty. Instead of, explosion goes off, holy shit, there's something else going exploding over here. It's not a fucking Michael Bay movie.
Now let me ask you, how many feuds during his run in WWE was Stone Cold Steve Austin known for? How many feuds?
Let's see, Austin and The Rock, Austin and Bret Hart, Austin and Michaels, Austin McMahon.
So four.
There's a time for an. There's a time with the corporate ministry you had him with against Undertaker.
Now, of all the ones you've named so far, three of them were major feuds. The rest of them were meh, well, little mini things that they could go back to and then leave off and then go back to. Not a big deal. His three biggest feuds were McMahon, Bret, and The Rock. Otherwise, he'd just come out, kick ass, drink beer, and go home. And the crowd ate it up. Do the same thing with Punk, and you're going to get the same kind of a reaction. The crowd will eat it up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, but unfortunately, the way that booking is done, as it shows on television, is you go from one feud to another. Instead of really having your moment on Raw this past week, where John Cena got the chance to sort of step back and go, I'm going to enjoy some time as being the champion. I've just had this 3-month feud with The Rock. You know, he had his little moment at the start of Raw.
Yep.
And then bang, we're into the feud with Ryback.
Yep.
Where's the sit back, have a moment? Why can't he just have a couple of just really random title defenses?
Basically basking in his glow.
Yeah, just give the guy just give it all a chance to sink in before you go, bang, here's the next big thing that we're going to push down your throat for the next month.
Yeah. That's kind of my point, and I think we're in agreement on that one.
Yeah.
Now, I want to go back to Dolph Ziggler here before we move on, because there's a point, something I want to bring up. After Dolph won the Money in the Bank briefcase, I guess from, what was it, SummerSlam on, and just got really, started to get really, really intensified after the Rumble. He did a lot of losing on his way to the World Heavyweight title, didn't he?
I could go ahead and spoil any kind of speculative talk you want to have over this.
Oh, what kind of a spoiler are you going to make?
Well, apparently that was the whole plan to begin with.
Yeah.
Because what? The idea was to set him up as a vulnerable champion. I mean, you do have a laundry list of guys who have beaten him, from guys who could wrestle for the world title to just, you know, there's some mid-carders in there too that wouldn't be anywhere near that belt. But you have all these guys who now say, hey, the guy who's world champion now, I just beat a month ago. I could beat him again. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah, hi, Chris Jericho on SmackDown.
Well, you take a look at the night before. The night before, Dolph Ziggler wins the title. What happened? He took the pinfall in a tag match from Kane. What's stopping Kane from going, well, I beat Ziggler at WrestleMania. Come on, bitch, give me a title shot.
Well, yeah, there's always that possibility.
What's stopping Daniel Bryan turning around going, hey, I can beat you in under 18 seconds?
Name that beating, yeah. Well, here's the thing. WWE, it's not just Ziggler that they've done this with. They do this a lot, and they have done it over the years with a lot. And the reason they do it is so they can set up feuds for the next year for this guy, or however long he might hold the title for. Now, the amount of losses that Dolph Ziggler has incurred on his way to winning the title by cashing in his championship, it just tells me they're planning on him having that title for a while yet, which is fine. That's great. But isn't it time to stop making him look weak before he gets the title? I mean, that's kind of old and boring, don't you think?
Well, now, here's the thing with it, though. The other prime example of how this works is when they did it with MVP.
Yeah.
Had the dude lose pretty much every match for a year. Then when he got the big win, he got the big pop.
Yep.
Then they start rebuilding. There's a good chance that you're going to see Ziggler start out by winning matches by the skin of his teeth, Big E doing an interference, AJ running interference, just some little thing. So he scrapes by. He's that cowardly champion.
Yep.
You know, the guy who's relying on the other. Eventually, you're going to pull something where Big E's going to get, you know, sick of it, and he's going to take challenge Ziggler to a match, leads to them splitting off. Then you start seeing Ziggler doing it on his own, and he's out there to prove, I'm going to be the best world champion that we've seen over the last few years. Yeah, and then there's all these challenges lined up. All these guys have beaten him, and he goes through and he takes down every single one of them.
Yep.
Starts to make himself dominant. It's a great way to build a strong champion if they do it that way.
Now, my point is they've been doing this for years with different guys. It's, to me, at least, it's just like, yeah, no, we don't need that crap anymore. I mean, that time has come and it's gone. You've been doing it since the 50s. Do something different.
But you some of the old tried and true methods still work well today. And for a guy like Ziggler with all the talent in the world and the chance to pull off some top level matches, mm-hmm. this type of thing is perfect for a guy like that.
Okay. So, yeah. You can put up with them doing this with
the- it also helps because it was won with the money in the bank. I mean, outside of John Cena and RVD, everyone who cashes in the money in the bank does it when the champion is injured or otherwise vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it always is going to make the guy look weak, you know, while he's currently holding the belt. It's just the nature of money in the bank. So as long as you're going to have that anyway, why not go that route? You know, why not set Ziggler up with this laundry list of guys who've just got through beating him when he didn't have a belt, and now he has this great big bullseye on his head. Now is a perfect time to go rematch. You know, as long as you... It just, for me, yeah, it makes total sense. And Mace pretty much nailed it. I mean, whoever turns face out of that situation, Big E or Ziggler, and I think Ziggler could carry a face run. He's that charismatic in the ring.
Well, I think, but despite the fact that he's, you know, billed as a heel, he's doing a face run right now, unintentionally.
Well, he cut a promo on SmackDown where he tried really hard to get the crowd to turn against him. It didn't really work.
Not in the least bit. Nope.
No. So, yeah, he could run as a face, you know, and eventually he will, because Big E will eventually split off. I'd see AJ splitting off at some point, too. And that's when you start, the rise of Ziggler, where... You know, he's doing it on his own, and he's proving that, he was always worth that belt. It was just a matter of getting it.
So, yeah, well, you know, that's that, and that's all there is to it. Have you guys seen these designs for the new WWE title that were rejected in favor of the one that they finally came up with?
No, Tim, I've been at a convention all weekend. I haven't seen shit.
You haven't seen shit. Yeah, well, these...
I saw them.
These rejected designs.
I'm glad they were rejected.
There's one there that I kind of sort of don't hate too much, and that's the one with the eagle, and then the front of the leather look like eagle feathers. WWE champion, yeah. I think it's number 7.
The big-ass eagle was kind of interesting, but at the same time... it doesn't look like a world title, you know, because, for me, you know, it's not just the faceplate. I like the side plates, too. You know, I like the gold kind of wrapping around the champion's waist, you know. It looks more official, like this is a WWE championship. This is a wrestling belt.
Yeah, all of the designs that are up here that they released, the one that they decided that they settled on should have been, in my opinion, that should have just been included in the reject pile. I mean, okay, maybe it's not the worst looking of all of them, but it's still shitty.
Yeah, I mean,
they got to get new designers.
Yeah, these the designs for the rejected designs are awful. I mean that that's the last one on that list where it's the logo held in chains is abysmal.
That's
that looks awful.
Yeah, all
looks awful.
All I can say is wait till you guys see the brand new World Heavyweight Title belt for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. It's being designed, and it's going to be built, and it's going to be awesome. And you're going to say, that's a World Heavyweight Title belt when you see it. It's just great.
But by the way, see, considering we were talking about the title belt for a minute,
yeah,
fuck you, WWE, and putting those god-awful John Cena logos on the side plates. Like, The Rock's were bad enough. These are worse.
I called
what
this.
What happened?
I called this.
What happened to those nice generic ones that made the belt look like anybody has a chance of holding the fucking thing? What happened to those logos? They looked good. Why the John Cena shit that makes The Rock's one look good?
Okay, before...
Because... There's no nameplate on the belt, and this is an easy way of customizing the belt to each champion without doing the big gaudy bling bling belts or having to cast a brand new title belt just for one guy.
Yeah, but a nameplate's not any hard deal, and it's easier to change than the fucking side plates. Mace is a point. Seriously, right, Omega.
But why even do we really need an identifier to say this guy's holding the belt? He's got the fucking thing on his shoulder or around his waist. I think we know he might have the belt.
Yeah, no, you've got to have those identifiers because you won't realize that John Cena's a heavyweight champion. Come on now.
It's not the identifier that I like about the idea. It's the customization. You know, it's the personalization that. It's not just, this title is mine. You know, it's not just, well, my name's on it now. It's part of this belt is me. You know, and that belt is going to look damn good one day with CM Punk Lightning Fist logos on it.
That's just because you're a CM
Punk. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
The point still remains. Why can't the belt just be the belt? Like, why do we need to? Like, nobody really gave a shit about nameplates because you couldn't see the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, if you knew the belt was going to change hands because the dumb fucks would put the new nameplates on while the old champion still has the belt on pay per view.
Yeah, could you imagine if Daniel Bryan won the belt and they would put pictures of a goat?
Oh God.
But that's the thing. It's like, what happens? What happens if Sheamus get us? Do we get clovers on the ends of the belt? You know, do we get the Undertaker symbol if he wins the belt?
No, you put the urn on.
What the hell do we use for the Big Show?
Give it back to Stone Cold Steve Austin. You got a picture of Steve Weiser, you got Budweiser's on the side.
Big Show's got that, no, Big Show's got the bear logo I think he'd use.
Mark Henry. Guy has no logo. What do you do? He has that fucking weird elephant thing.
No, yeah, Mark Henry put on like a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh God. Oh God.
I win.
but you see what I'm getting at? It's like, Where is that line? Where does it go from customization to, oh my god, gaudy, something you find in a fucking off shop?
Okay, I'm starting to like this game. What are you going to put on the sides for Champion X and X? And I'll be like, Mark Henry, it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Stone Cold Steve Austin, it's like real beer cans. So he can just like,
Put on for Great Khali, a bowl of curry?
Yeah, what'd you do for Khali?
What do you do if Hornswoggle wins? What do you do if Hornswoggle wins besides the fact that you have to shrink the belt by 50%?
You put up ladders.
Step stools.
What do you do if Jack Swagger wins it? Do you put little blunts on us? What?
Oh, fuck, no. Jack Swagger can never win that belt because, you know, the side place would be swastikas. Yeah, I went there.
Oh, jeez.
Heath Slater, Wendy from the Wendy's logo, yeah.
Yeah. God. If it's... Oh, God, we give it to Cesaro one day, and he's got, like, champ in five languages on each side plate.
Oh, my God. Okay, enough of this. Let's just take a time out of this.
I will say it's going to be real fucking hard when they go, hey, let's have a random person win the championship.
Oh, shit, we can't do that. Turn that down a bit. I've got a question. Omega Mace, do you guys know what that music is?
That is I Love Lucy.
Oh, goddamn, you knew it. And people said I'm old. Everybody.
It's one of the best shows ever on TV. Are you kidding me?
We'll be back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here. That's a horse you have, that's a horse you have. Gundam style. Not the pelvic thrust.
What, Mr. Sulu in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
The home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
We gotta find a paw print. That's the first clue. We put it in a notebook, and now what do we do? Blues. We gotta find another paw print. That's the second clue. We put it in a notebook. Now what do we do? Blues. We gotta find another paw print. That's the third clue.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and my fucking god, did we really have to go to fucking Blues Clues?
I was gonna, but I was
because after he found all his clues, he went and did cocaine.
Did you not know that? Oh, that reminds me. Bring Jeff Hardy back to WWE. Let him win the title, and then you can put the hypodermic needles on the sides.
He already did that. It's called his TNA World Title.
Oh no! Don't give him ideas. We don't want to hear any more of the Wiggles. Oh my god.
If Kurt Angle comes back and wins it, can we put, like, an MRI of a broken neck on the place?
That'd be hilarious. X-rays. Here you go. All right.
Hey, we could have the exact same place for Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, there you go. X-rays. You're saving money.
It's cost-cutting is what I'm doing here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, saving money, cost-cutting. I suppose we should just dive into a roundtable, kids.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Omega, are you just like totally over that or what?
I feel nothing anymore. Okay. Honestly, I'm waiting for Stockholm Syndrome to kick in where I just go play it again.
Yeah, and you'll wind up with a permanent fan in Cane Kittens if you do that, you realize.
Yeah, not happening.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, here it is, guys. Roundtable question. Do you believe you have to constantly reinvent yourself in professional wrestling? Let's go to the professional wrestler on the panel, Mace.
I think we already destroyed this question earlier in the night. Well, it's one thing. There is constant reinvention, but once you find the thing that works, then you pretty much reach the end of having to reinvent yourself, change of gimmick. Then you start building on what you've got.
Okay, so basically the short answer is no, you don't have to. Omega.
No.
Omega. Have to, but it doesn't necessarily hurt either. I mean, we saw Jericho at the top of his career in what came down to a fairly simple heel gimmick. But you know what? He was over as hell as the funny Jericho. He was over as hell as the villain Jericho. But when he came back, he reinvented himself and did something that was not only unique for professional wrestling, it was a complete 180 from anything he'd done before.
Uh-huh.
And it was an awesome way of reinventing himself when he didn't have to. But he did, and it made him all the more interesting. So, the answer is, you don't have to do it if you find the thing that works for you. But, if it just goes too long, or if it gets tiring, either for the audience or yourself, then you have to know when the time is right to reinvent.
Okay, Mace, based on what Omega just said, wouldn't that just be a case of keeping your character fresh? Once you've found the invention that works for you and you're sticking with it, fine. But you give it a tweak here and there, and, you know, like once a year you put on the Rain-X just to keep all the water beating up, as opposed to reinventing your character.
Pretty much, you just sort of improve and sort of try and keep it contemporary without having to overly reinvent it. Like the last couple of things with Jericho being heel, one had a light bright jacket, the other didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mace?
What?
I'm talking about the other heel turn he had, where he tried to come back with the Save Us Y2J. He came back as just kind of the normal funny Y2J. It wasn't working so well, and then he went heel. And it was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pre-light bright.
Okay. Sorry.
This is where brain's
going.
Yeah, no, this was the big dramatic comeback after, what was it, a couple of years. And when you first saw him, you saw him from the back, and he looked like Jon Bon Jovi from the back. After he closed,
yeah, definite changes between like that type of version and, you know, the I'm gonna be funny, you know, me want title match and all that shit.
Yeah. See, the difference there is he didn't really reinvent himself. He tweaked an established character. He's Y2J. Well,
he pretty much tweaked his debut.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Because that's pretty much what it was. It was just an update of his debut gimmick to be more modern and to work in with today's culture.
I still say that his first debut in WWF at the time is definitely among the top five.
Oh, it's one of the top debuts, most definitely.
Well, according to WWE's recent list, I'll beat Rock to the punch for once. They said it was the number one debut.
Yes,
but again, that's reinvention versus tweaking.
You know, yes.
Yeah. He tweaks the character during his big return. You know, the second coming of Y2J. He gives it a few months, and then you have a full reinvention where he rids himself of anything Y2J related. Goes for the No Country for Old Men gimmick.
No Country for Old Men. There you go. All right. Well, we got another question for you guys. Who do you believe is the best job to reinvent themselves throughout the years in pro wrestling?
So the best one to reinvent themselves.
Yeah, there's your latest great debate. The best reinvention ever.
I'll be honest. I'd probably say Austin.
Omega?
I'd probably have to go with Austin too, just because it worked so well.
So good.
It was a case of proving that he had everything they wanted in a star. It's just a matter of how you package the guy.
Mm-hmm. Well,
going from Hollywood blonde to the ringmaster to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
That's what you call reinvention.
Yeah, for me it comes down to two guys, The Rock and Stone Cold, and I would have to give it to Stone Cold. So I guess it winds up being unanimous, and guys, you realize that we just killed two great debate topics with one roundtable segment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Huzzah.
Oh, now we'll just have to think of something different for great.
So you mean this shit doesn't take 3 months at a time?
No, it just takes a round table as opposed to our regular great debate shit.
So we didn't have to discuss Hollywood Hogan for the 8,000th time. Great.
Yeah, well, there you go. I guess by now it's time for everybody to vote with their wallets, as it were, because Rock wants to play buy and sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell.
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell, guys, the Miz's one-day title run as IC champion. Omega.
Sell? What was the fucking point of that?
Yeah, the same thing. Sell. What the fuck was the point?
Tim?
Are you kidding? You really have to ask me?
Yeah, you are part of the show.
Well, I think I gave you my answer with my question. Really? What the hell?
Buy or sell the idea of Maria Kanellis returning to WWE, Mace?
Oh, God.
Sell. It wouldn't happen, considering that, like, nobody likes her. It's what happens when you decide to have a little show on YouTube that bags out the company that you might want to work for one day again.
Yeah, it's called burning your bridges.
Yeah, setting it on fire with a fucking flamethrower and then covering the shit in napalm.
Omega.
Based purely on an attitude of would I like to see her back on WWE TV and putting all of her bridge burning and animosity as, well, good fucking luck with that. I buy it. I mean, I was thoroughly upset when they released her in the first place because I thought she was one of the better divas they had going for them. Mm-hmm. To this day, I have no clue why they decided to cut her. Because she had the ditz gimmick going, but some of the best times, some of the best things she did was those times she broke free of that. I mean, I can remember the trial of McMahon.
You bastard! You bastard!
You really wanted to mention that, didn't you?
You prick!
That was hysterical when she plays that character the whole time, then just completely breaks it and shows off that she actually has a fairly good brain for her.
I mean, it worked great. I mean, you're all like, what the fuck? How did she get
I
so...
I know! It was the best moment of the entire sketch.
Tim.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, the only question I have as far as the idea of Maria Kanellis returning to WWE, A, who has she promised to blow this time? And B, who has she promised not to blow anymore?
Okay.
That would be Vince McMahon and Mike Bennett.
I was thinking Mike Bennett and Stephanie McMahon, but okay.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you which order.
I'm going to read you a tweet for our next buy or sell.
Uh-oh.
This comes from Steve Austin BSR. You know,
what?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Sell, 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 sell. I know where you're going.
Bold prediction. Fandango will be IC champion within 6 to 8 months. Mace, buy or sell.
Sell, 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 sell. I'm sticking with my prediction. The guy's gone in 6 months.
Omega.
God, 6 months is optimistic.
Omega?
For letting
out of my head!
But there's it's such free roaming space in there.
Oh, I'm going to kick you. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but I'm going to kick you somehow.
He says this, but, you know, it comes true.
One of my brothers still lives in my...
I'm selling this, by the way.
Okay. Tim.
Considering Steve Austin's the last guy he picked to go to WWE didn't exactly last a long time.
This is true. Tim Stein.
Yeah, after giving Omega shit for stealing my ship for the second time, you're still asking me? Come on.
Mm-hmm, I'm still asking.
Yeah, lasting 6 months is optimistic. Never mind being IC champ.
So in 2 weeks, he will be the IC champion after beating Wade Barrett. Okay.
And I think he might.
And then 24 hours later, he wins it back.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he might win the U.S. Championship just because they might let him beat Cesaro and forget that, you know, Antonio actually has that belt.
Yeah, how many people forget he's got that damn belt?
When he doesn't get an entrance and Kofi Kingston doesn't get an entrance on SmackDown and they are in the same match.
A what?
And that's a taped show.
So that should tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's WrestleMania. Every belt is on the line. And who the fuck is this Cesaro guy?
He yodels.
Yo, Claudio Castagnoli.
Anyway, that's by
herself. Thank you, Alan Wojcik.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for that. I figure he's probably listening to the archives right now saying, are they talking about me? Well, there you go, Alan. Your ego has been soothed. We just talked about you. Moving on.
So you just name-dropped Alan Wojcik?
Yeah, I did.
God, that's meta.
I was at for Zen.
Ugh. Anyway, great debate time.
Yay! It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE hardcore champion of all time.
Oh, did you see Spike Dudley staggering around and then out of nowhere? Look at this! Hurricane comes flying in! He really can't fly!
It wasn't a bird, it wasn't a plane.
It was Hurricane!
It was Hurricane!
And he's our new hardcore champion here in the WWF.
Quick, to the Hurricycle!
And how?
No! Oh, wait a minute! What? Oh, Marty Molly! I don't believe it. Marty Molly has just defeated...
She hit the Hurricane with a frying pan!
I thought she was a sidekick.
Look it, I'm the hardcore champion! I'm a winner, baby! Yeah! What the? What are you
doing? Hey, wait a minute! There's Maven! Maven, Roman Reigns! Maven's regained the hardcore title! And now he's taking Christian's cap!
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Mankind versus The Undertaker, Omega, go.
Oh, God. Yeah, Taker was probably one of the most dominant... Taker's probably the biggest name to actually hold the hardcore belt, but if the hardcore belt's all about the entertainment factor, then yeah, it's going to be Mankind.
Mace.
Mankind.
Why?
Because.
Such a great reason.
I can't argue with that.
Kind of hurts you when he doesn't give you anything.
Yeah, really. Okay, he says because, Tim.
Mankind.
Why?
What Mace said. Wait, okay, fine. Okay, fine. I'll actually put something to this, okay?
I don't feel bad now for this music I've been playing with this segment.
We're doing this because of the fucking music you've been playing. Anyway, okay, here it is. Undertaker, Dead Man Walking. Sorry, not the hardcore thing. I mean, it's like you can run as fast as you want. He's still going to catch you just by walking. Mankind gets his ear sliced off in Germany in the middle of a match, keeps going. Goes to the hospital, says, hey, nurse, can you put that shit in a bag for me so I can take it home? Gets thrown off the top of the Hell in the Cell. Not supposed to go through the goddamn thing when he gets chokeslammed through it. Winds up, his teeth are coming through his bottom lip. And he still finishes the match. Mankind, the epitome of hardcore compared to Undertaker.
But that had nothing to do with him being hardcore.
No, but the guy shows hardcore wrestling in any other match, not just hardcore, right?
Wow.
That's the epitome of hardcore. So, yeah.
Shawn Michaels, best world champion ever. Because the episode of Baywatch he was on, man, should have won an Emmy. Awesome episode.
How can you remember this person in this group? Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, moving
on. Mankind, because of what Mace said.
Sounds a lot better now. Next matchup, Rhino versus Shane McMahon, Mace.
Oh, fuck.
This one actually requires some sort of thought process.
It really does.
Because Rhino is one of these guys that this type of environment was really like. It was his type of environment. Shane McMahon decided, I'm going to throw myself off the highest things I can find and try and survive.
You realize he stole that from Teddy Hart, right?
Everyone stole everything from Teddy Hart.
And Teddy Hart stole it all from Chris Jericho, who invented everything, so shut the fuck up. And to be honest, Teddy Hart stole it off fucking New Jack, so shut up.
Yeah, they're not.
I don't think he stole it. If he stole something off New Jack, he'd be dead right now.
Not to blame, because he hates it when you do, but he does have 4 justifiable homicides on his record. Just saying.
True.
Where's the 5? I keep losing count.
It might be 5 by the time this airs.
Hey, don't say that. Make it people are going to think this is pre-recorded.
I'm going to go with Shane O'Mac on this one, only because it actually gave Shane a bit of a legitimate streak in the small time that he wrestled. That, and he was just fucking insane.
Omega.
Again, looking at the hardcore belt more for the entertainment value rather than the quality of champion or the quality of wrestling product it provided. Shane O'Mac had a run close to Mr. Bill. You kind of rooted for him, but you knew he was getting fucked up that night.
Thanks to Mr. Sluggo. Oh, no!
All right, so that's one for Shane McMahon. Tim.
It's just, you look at the WWE hardcore division, and that was just basically another day at the office in ECW where Rhino made his mark. You want to go for the entertainment value? Yeah, then I'm giving it to Shane, too. I mean, the guy was freaking nuts when he did his crap. And for somebody who's not a wrestler, he did pretty goddamn good.
You have to admit, part of it's the fact that he is a McMahon as well, because he had no reason to pull any of that shit.
No need. So, yeah, Shane O'Mac.
So, next week in the Great Debate, as we continue to move on, we only have a few more matches left. Tommy Dreamer takes on Raven, and Mighty Molly takes on Crash Holly next week in the Great Debate.
Oh, God.
I still can't believe Mighty Molly moved on.
Sorry if she has the most amusing title win in history.
Well, it was awesome. Okay, it was.
Mind you, also putting this into perspective, next week's matchups actually sound like shit that happens. Like, obviously, Raven versus Dreamer, that's stock standard. You could actually imagine the match between Mighty Molly and Crash Holly.
You can imagine. You've seen them.
Probably.
Well, keep in mind, it's Molly Holly and Crash Holly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's next week in the Great Debate.
Yeah, why don't we just go to your damn quick hit so I can get out of here and go to bed?
Yeah, like you go to bed this early.
Yeah, you're right, I don't.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous
and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
Mace, what is the greatest television theme song of all time?
DuckTales, woo!
No debate.
No debate.
Because
it will never leave.
Okay. Tim, what television personality do you most relate with?
James D. Kirk, because he slept with green women. Wait a minute.
So you slept with green women?
That's really saying something about the quality of Canadian women, Tim.
Yeah, there you go. No, ask me the question again.
What television personality do you most relate with?
Probably Eric Foreman from that 70s show.
Why?
Because I watched that goddamn show and...
You don't threaten to kick people's asses enough.
No, he's talking about the kid, not Red.
Not Red. Red's kid, Eric.
Oh, God. Yeah. So you're gonna go and ruin a Spider-Man franchise. Awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on. Don't lay it all on him. It wasn't just him screwing things up.
He's still bitter.
I'm trying to imagine you as Eric Foreman. No.
Okay. If you had known me when I was 14 and 15, then you would have a lot less hard time imagining it.
No, because that means imagining you with somebody that looks as hot as Donna does. No.
Yeah, that actually happened.
You can't pull that type of tale.
Actually, yeah, I was able to. God damn
it.
Anyways, moving on.
Okay, moving on. Omega, what superhero would make the best wrestler?
Well, provided he only faced Randy Savage, Spider-Man.
That's it? Spider-Man? Best wrestler ever? Best superhero to be a wrestler ever?
You know what? In seriousness, yeah, I think I'm going to go with that, just because you not only do you get all the feats of strength, but you also get the fact that he can bounce around like Rey Mysterio without injuring himself.
Oh, you guys are missing a complete...
Come on. No, Deadpool.
We already have a superhero as a professional wrestler. Superman, anybody?
Check. In Mexico, they have El Santo. Dude was considered a superhero, but he was a Mexican wrestler. Also a very big movie star.
Alright, so Spider-Man is for the Omega... Mace, what is the scariest character you have run into at a convention?
This is where I pray, because I hope I got a fucking photo of this. No, this is one of those, you won't believe me unless I show you. And you will probably see exactly why.
Do I need to give you a minute?
Yeah, please do. Come back to me.
Tim, what is the greatest music video ever?
ZZ Top, Legs.
Why?
Are you kidding?
I'm stalling for time for me.
ZZ Top, Legs.
Give an explanation why.
Because she's got legs. She knows how to use them.
Your middle finger of the night comes from Tim Stein. Because I'll give you a little hint, just in case you haven't paid attention for, you know, like the last, you know, God, how long have we been doing this segment? He's not going to go to me to give Mace more time. Because he's going to end on me. Like he always does.
There's a reason for that.
I know there's always a reason for that. It usually has to do with Rock and Lindsay coming up with something evil the night before.
Well, if you think about this show...
Phone call after the show and give her shit. Or we listen while you give her shit.
Okay, okay. You don't need to solve for time because I found it.
Okay.
I will explain... The photo I am about to put into not only our chat, I will also put it into the chat room in a moment. This is one of the guys that I work with at the
conventions.
To turn around, not knowing this was happening, and to see him dressed like that.
You posted that on Facebook.
When you see a friend of yours, somebody that you have to work with, a guy dressed as a Japanese maid, it scares the shit out of you.
Like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah. And the fact is, I have come to realize that that type of thing happens way too often at conventions now, because I saw at least 4 or 5 guys done up in the same style of outfit this past weekend.
Apparently, we gotta have a girl in the chat room who's calling herself Hipsters for Wrestling.
You haven't been to cons that actually had panels for how to do that.
No. See, I don't need the panels because I have my friend Chuck. So, yeah.
Omega, are you ready for your question?
Probably not, but it'll be asked anyway.
Here it comes. Well, maybe not just yet.
Yeah, because you do it while the producer's away, you fucking moron.
Of course. Well, like I knew he was... oh, hey, you know, April 27th is April Assault here in Calgary, Mace. Omega, guess what happens here in Calgary on April 27th? Well, that weekend, April 26th, 27th, and 28th. Just take a guess. Just whatever pops into your head.
The annual Maple Harvesting Festival.
No, that's in...
The rodeo.
That's in Quebec in the fall, and the rodeo doesn't happen until July. Comic-Con!
You have Comic-Con in Canada?
We have Comic-Con all the time. And last year, it was standing room only. This year, it's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
We got all that geek shit comes to Calgary all the time. It's like 4 or 5 times a year. We got stuff going on. We even have Star Trek conventions. As a matter of fact, here in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, the original cast, every single last one of them, of Star Trek The Next Generation reunited for the first time since the movie Nemesis.
So I walk away 1 minute, and this is where you take the show?
Yeah, that's what happened, because you fucked off and I was trying to fill time. So we started talking about Comic-Con.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Omega. If you could give Lindsay a rap name, what it would be? What would it be?
DJ Spicy Bitch.
Yeah.
How close was that?
DJ Spanks a lot? No.
No, that just sounds a lot more perverse than you meant it to be.
On Thursday, we had Shorty L. Funk. And, Little Lindsay were a couple of them we used on the show. Short Island Iced Tea was another one.
Short Island?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but how do you get iced tea? I mean, her name's Lindsay.
It doesn't always make sense.
What? No kidding, it doesn't make sense. You see, at least rapper names make sense, kind of.
Does Snoop Lion make sense?
Snoop Dogg? That makes sense, because the guy's a pothead.
But Snoop Lion. That's what he wants to go by now.
Does he tell the truth?
So, Omega, what would you use?
Oh, jeez.
Come on, Omega Kron, don't let us down.
It seems like, see, this is what's fucking me. I feel like there's something, like, right on the edge of my mind that there's this, like, perfect little idea forming. And it's one of those fucking things that isn't going to finish forming until after we're off the air.
Oh, wait, we got plenty of time, so, you know.
We do not have plenty of time. We need to go take a nap.
Yeah, and this was a really bad day to ask me. This is a terribly bad day to ask me something that involves creative thought. I am so burned out today.
Eh.
And that's season 3 downloaded.
God. Rock, you gotta stop with these questions.
Yeah, Wild Talk, you know, use your 470-66. That wouldn't be Lindsay. That would be the producer here you're listening to tonight.
Can we call a DJ Tiny Tot?
DJ Tiny Tot.
Miss Tits and Bits. Oh? Okay.
Since he doesn't want to answer the question.
It's not that I don't want to answer. This is a hysterical question. You know, like I really want to answer, but my brain refuses.
The question isn't hysterical. What you're stuck on is trying to make the answer hysterical.
She likes apparently Tiny Tot, so she likes that name. There you go.
But she can't have the name Tiny, because let's face it, her tots aren't.
But either way, Rock is still slappy.
Her tots are not tiny.
But she's tiny.
No, doesn't work. Forget it.
But she's
tiny. How about DJ D Cup?
DJ D Cup. Okay then, that works.
You know, you can twist. You can put a twist on that. You can call it DJ Dixie Cups, and that works
who
even
cares?
Better. Yeah, you can.
Because it makes her sound like she's a DJ that just kind of fills up everyone's little punch glass.
Oh, trust me, no, it doesn't.
and she's saying, "I'm 5'2". She's tiny. That's what she's saying. She's 5'2" and tiny. So she wants to make that clear. She is tiny.
Yeah, she's 5'2", but she
size.
Does not have tiny tots. She does not have tiny tots. No. Rejected.
So that's
jeez, Tim, you can't seem to focus off one area, whereas we're trying to encompass the whole woman. You just want to focus on one area. You sexist bastard.
You damn straight.
And to quote, it's my name, fuck off.
You cannot name yourself. It has to be given to you. That's just the rules.
Anyway, wrap the show up, Tim.
Yeah, that's it. We're done. Go home. Oh, wait a minute. Tomorrow night, after us, the Raw Post Show, right here on the Wild Tag Radio Network. Join Sir Rock and Ed, Lindsay Ward, and a couple of other people if they decide to show up to talk about what happened with Rock. No news. But it is live, and it will be Monday night. Hey, it's the home of your mayhem happenings. The only place you need to be, right here, the Wild Talk Radio Network, for the Raw Post Show. 30 minutes after Raw goes off. Well, actually, okay, with the overrun, it's more like 20 minutes after Raw goes off the air. 11:30 Eastern.
I'm not even going to say a word.
Continue. Okay, fine. Tuesday night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. You heard us mention Alan Wojcik. Tune in and find out what he likes to talk about.
Well,
professional wrestling.
He talks about professional wrestling, sort of. He'll be interviewing former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas on the program.
Who else is he going to interview?
Because he missed his last appearance, he is returning to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with the one, the only, Sugar Dunkerton.
And you can bet your ass Sugar Dunkerton is going to headline his Facebook posts. Not Jimmy Corderas.
Let's see.
Yeah.
let's see. Let's see what the event invite says. I know, it actually says Jimmy Corderas first.
That's amazing.
Because I guess he went in alphabetical order.
Yeah, Alan, we're picking on you, but hey, you know, nothing but love for you, brother.
See, that's Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, Wednesday night, it's the second edition of Cheap Heat Radio. Boy, you want to talk controversy? This thing stirs the pot. And yeah, there's a reason for it. Tune in at 8:30 Eastern Wednesday night to find out why.
Well, I can tell you why, kind of, sort of, right now. They have a special interview lined up. They're not going to be live. They will be podcast this week on Wednesday. And they have an interview with someone behind the man behind a certain promotion in Nashville, Tennessee, will be on the program, and it's not the guy Alan wanted to interview. So,
I'll tell you
more about it later.
Wait, is it who I think it is?
No.
No, are you sure?
I don't know who you're thinking of is, but it's
don't
not who Alan.
I'm thinking about. Okay.
You tell me who you're thinking of, and then I'll tell you if that's true. But it's going to be
That guy in Nashville.
That guy in Nashville. It's going to be a podcast version this week for Cheap Heat Radio.
Thursday night at 11 o'clock Eastern, it's Lord in the Rack.
We'll be covering Impact Wrestling. We will be talking about the latest in WWE and whatever else we decide on. It's the Rack. Go back and listen to all the interviews we've just did with Joseph Park and Trish Stratus at RackRadioShow.com and right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
And Friday night, Mace returns to play video games on the live stream.
Yes, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, I will be picking up a copy of the new DC fighting game, Injustice Gods Among Us, where I will probably find a way to beat the shit out of Superman using Batman.
Da, 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 da. That's a fight you want.
Do it with Harley Quinn. Make it hilarious.
Done.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night, as soon as they can get to it, as close as they can get to midnight, it'll be The Rack. No, that's Thursday. CB Radio!
Wrong show. Anyway.
Stop thinking of Lindsay's Rack.
I can't help it. It's her fault.
Yeah, CB Radio, where last night we talked about Rob's experience in Hollywood, whereas someone told him Holly Weird, and we talked about how much he actually drank on the trip, which, by rough estimate, he paid for almost 30 beers in 2 days. So, that's CB Radio Midnight Edition. This week we're going to talk about the MTV Movie Awards, and then we're going to have Subway and Rob discuss who won Best Shirtless Performance. You don't want to miss it. CB Radio Midnight Edition this Saturday.
And, of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rough Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, you never know. You might get filled in a little bit on Canadian All-Pro Wrestling and April Assault. No pies allowed.
Yes, pies. Anyone going to this event on April 27th, bring a pie.
No, you can't bring a pie as a weapon.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Oh, you can't do that to the Legion. It's not the border crossing. I'm not going to be stuck with a $600 cleaning bill. No pies. Besides, it wouldn't make it to the ring. You know, Steve.
Okay,
himself.
Tim, have you put on the advertising? No, a serious question. Have you put on the advertising? No food items.
I'm not done advertising it.
Because if you don't put the stipulation in, no food items, therefore fans are allowed to bring pies.
No pies.
Yes, pies.
No pies.
Yes, pies.
Yes, pies.
Hashtag yes, pies.
No, the only pies that you're allowed to bring are the people's pies.
Now, there are spots you could do with a pie that wouldn't be that messy.
Don't sell me that messy. No, no pies in my brand new ring.
This makes things up on us, apparently.
Well, he got pissed off because I said no pies.
I guess so. Anyway.
We're done. Get out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Buy the shirt, buy the hat, bring the pie.
No pie. Buy the shirt, buy the hat.
Canadian.
Shut up.
I was pimping your website. Jesus.
Oh, CanadianOpro.com.
Pies.
No pies. No.
WildTalkRadio.com.